Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Wednesday, February 20th, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. The first bill to land on Governor Sean Parnell's desk will be one that he introduced. The measure relaxes regulations on cruise ships and lets them use mixing zones when they release waste. By doing that, it strikes part of a citizens' initiative requiring vessels to meet clean water standards at the point of discharge. Minority Democrats in the Senate cited that as a reason for opposing the bill during their floor speeches. Senator Johnny Ellis, who represents an Anchorage district, says his constituents had concerns about the legislature rolling back a measure that they had voted on.
These were not environmentalists. They were not part of the conservation, organized conservation community. They were regular Alaskans who participated in the Citizens Initiative. And encouraged me in no uncertain terms to be very, very cautious about overturning citizens' initiatives. That's a dangerous road to go down when we think that can be toyed with lightly.
Senator Liesl McGuire, a Republican from Anchorage and a supporter of the bill, responded that some voters might have misunderstood what the initiative actually required.
When you sit back and look at voter psychology, when people go into the ballot booths, it's not clear that voters always understand what they're voting on, to be honest. Alaskans are very smart, savvy people, intellectuals, but a lot of it comes down to the information that they're presented with as they go into that booth.
She said that the original initiative had been used charged language to describe the way cruise ships process their wastewater. Debate also focused on whether cruise ships had the technology available to meet more stringent standards, and it considered impact to the state's fisheries. Conservation groups, tribal organizations, and some members of the fishing industry had come out in opposition to the bill, with the cruise ship industry saying that they need the regulation change for their vessels to get permitted in Alaska. The bill ultimately passed the Senate 14-6. Senator Lyman Hoffman, a Democrat from Bethel, joined the majority in approving the measure. Sitka Senator Bert Stedman, a Republican, also voted in favor. The bill passed the House earlier this month on similar party lines. The Relay for Life is coming back to Sitka. For 28 years, the Relay had been one of the primary fundraising activities of the American Cancer Society. This year, over 5,000 communities across the country will participate in the all-night event. Chase Carter is the Community Relationship Manager for the American Cancer Society in Anchorage. He says the Relay for Life began informally in 1985 when Dr. Gordy Klatt, an oncologist in Tacoma, Washington, decided to make a personal statement to raise awareness about cancer prevention and treatment.
So he went out one night, and himself, he was a marathon runner, and ran for 24 hours. And it was such a crazy novel idea that the next year when he was doing it again, people joined him and paid to sort of relay along with them because no one really wanted to do the whole 24 hours, but they were willing to do maybe an hour, and then it's just sort of evolved over the past 28 years.
Carter says the relay never developed as a race. He calls it a family-friendly night out. Marathoners can carry Dr. Klatt's tradition forward if they'd like, but the relay is now all-inclusive.
Everyone is welcome. We really encourage survivors to come, and a lot of times cancer survivors have some mobility problems. So it's a walk, and you get a team together of 5 to 15 coworkers or family members and friends, and you get a little campsite, and there's just one person walking from your team throughout the whole overnight event.
A big part of the relay is simply raising the profile of the American Cancer Society. Carter says the American Cancer Society is sometimes discouraged when cancer patients and their families fail to use free services and support available to them around the state. Most patients simply don't know that they can obtain rides from the Anchorage Airport, for example, if they are arriving for treatment or get help with hotel bills.
Relay really helps get the word out in a community, so we know that we're really underserving the residents of Sitka, and we're hoping that when we bring Relay to Sitka that we can really work in conjunction with the local cancer groups and everyone to get the word out about what's available to Sitkins.
Planning for the American Cancer Society's 2013 Relay for Life in Sitka is officially underway. A kickoff event was held last night at the Sitka Pioneer Home. The location and time of the Sitka Relay has not been finalized. Carter says the organization is thinking about using Muller Field next to Sitka Community Hospital as a starting location. He says summertime usually works best for the event. Organizers are looking at dates sometime in June or July. An Alaska Native leader and former lawmaker remained in the hospital Tuesday after suffering a heart attack Monday in Juneau. Providence Alaska Medical Center in Anchorage listed Albert Kukesh in critical condition as of late Tuesday afternoon. Kukesh co-chairs the Alaska Federation of Natives and chairs the Sea Alaska Regional Corporation's Board of Directors. His family could not be reached for immediate comment, but Sea Alaska posted an update on its website saying he is resting after undergoing surgery to correct a blockage. The update says doctors plan to wake him up from sedation today. It says his family asked that no flowers be sent because Kukesh is allergic. The Angoon Democrat served 8 years in the House and 8 years in the Senate. He lost a re-election bid last year after redistricting separated him from many of the communities he represented. Kukesh has also been involved in a number of regional and nationwide Alaska Native organizations. He has a law degree and has been a seiner and a store and lodge owner. In a recent interview, he said he was contemplating rejoining the fishing fleet. We've all heard politicians talk about how businesses need to change to succeed in today's marketplace. A group of Alaska entrepreneurs shared their success stories and hopes of inspiring others at a recent innovation summit in Juneau. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Most of us have heard stories of an Alaskan with an idea for a business that just takes off. There's the boatyard that became a major tour operator, or the beer lovers who now sell in more than a dozen states. Representatives of five of those businesses talked about how they made it work during the Innovation Summit. One is a business that provides flexibility needed for local hire. Huna Totem Corporation Board Chairman Russell Dick says its Icy Strait Point tourist attraction does just that. He says the seasonal business employs village residents who don't want a year-round job.
Nobody lives in these rural communities to work for a Microsoft. That's what they're having. Their idea of lifestyle compatible is the ability to go deer hunting, the ability to go berry gathering, to do these things that make living in a rural community just critically important to them.
Dick is also president and CEO of Ha'ani, a Sea Alaska subsidiary pursuing economic development in Southeast. It's been helping village residents set up oyster farms and sell their product. He says it's a collaborative business model, not a grant program.
We, as a for-profit entity, we're willing to put money into this, we're willing to put time, but we're not going to solve the problems within the region.
Another innovator is Alan Marine, based in Sitka. The family-owned business began as a ship repair yard. It fixed up a derelict boat and began providing tours. Growing demand led the company to buy, then build more vessels. Wildlife viewing excursions expanded to Juneau and Ketchikan, and the company eventually formed its own small cruise line, Alaskan Dream. Vice President Jamie Cagle says its onboard shops are part of its business plan.
We try and support and procure as many local products as we can, you know, whether it be the foods on board or the gifts that we do, and we found that to be a very successful program for us. It's what our customers like to see, and the quality's good.
Juneau-based Alaskan Brewing Company's innovation is resisting pressure to grow too fast and create too many products. Brewing operations manager Brandon Smith says the craft beer market has expanded significantly since the company began operations.
You look at some breweries and they have like 60 different products and it gets kind of insane. We have a somewhat different philosophy there that we want to do a smaller number of products very well and not confuse the consumer with the dizzying array of things that we put out.
The company has also invested time and money into new technology. The most recent innovation is a boiler system that burns spent grain, saving heat and shipping costs. Another business, Juneau's Gastineau Guiding, tapped into the cruise ship excursion market during a time of rapid passenger growth. Owner Bob Jane says it wasn't alone. He says his business recognized opposition from residents needed to be addressed.
We saw tours driving through neighborhoods. People weren't sure if the trails were going to be packed with the tourists every day. So there was a lot of dissension in Juneau.
He cites the Tourism Best Management Practices program and similar efforts with reducing conflicts and allowing for smoother growth. Yet another innovator is a much larger company, Anchorage-based Alaska Communication Systems. ACS CEO Anand Vadapelli says his company took a new direction by partnering with a longtime competitor.
For those of you who've been in Alaska at least 10 years or more, you have a sense of the degree of competition and rivalry that exists between ACS and GCI. Well, guess what? Last year, ACS and GCI announced a joint venture to combine our wireless networks together to form the single largest wireless network in the state of Alaska.
That, he adds, is to compete against telecom giant Verizon, which plans to begin service in the 49th state this year. University of Alaska Southeast Management School Dean John Blanchard moderated the panel.
We'll hopefully be inspired to go and incorporate some of those great ideas as we move the needle a little bit further in creating innovative ideas for the Southeast Alaska here.
Some regional business and government leaders are pursuing such an approach through the Juneau Economic Development Council's Cluster Initiative. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting from Juneau.
Governor Sean Parnell is proposing changing how the Department of Natural Resources approves oil and gas leases. Parnell introduced Senate Bill 59 on Tuesday. In his transmittal letter, he says the measure would help streamline the state's permitting process. Currently, he says the department grants lease approval for exploration or development in conjunction with individual plans of operation for a lease or project. He says separate public notice is required for each approval, often resulting in repetitive approvals within the same geographic area. He says his proposal would allow the department to comprehensively evaluate exploration and development in a geographical area and define criteria by which specific projects are evaluated and approved. Approvals would be valid for up to 10 years. And that's all for Raven News. KCAW Sitka.